front of us. And there are times that I realize that things that we share are not necessarily new to some of us. But there are times we need to be reminded and helped, if you will, so that we can apply truth to our lives each and every day. And it's a wonderful thing when you have spent that time with the Lord, either through His Word or in fellowship with Him directly, and He has influenced you for good so that you can in turn influence others for good. And there's nothing worse than a person who claims to follow Jesus but spends no time with Him. And if you were to not know that they were a Christian, you'd have a hard time figuring it out. That's a tragic way to live. Especially when He offers so much and He's given so much. We need to appreciate all that He's done and walk in the light of it. That's the best way to say it. Notice something that Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He said this in verse 12. He said to Timothy, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses." Now Paul writes to this young man and tells him to fight the good fight of faith. And then he says something that's a little foreign to us. Lay hold on eternal life. Now that word eternal life in the Greek is a little word, three letters, Z-O-E, Zoe. And that word eternal life, Zoe, means much more than just living forever. It literally means the life and nature of God. Because if you want to know the truth, each and every one of us is a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. Each and every one of us, whether you have given your life to Jesus or not, is an eternal being. You will live forever. The question is, where will you spend eternity? If you've received Jesus and made Him the Lord of your life, then we know that when we leave this body, we go to be with Him. If you reject Jesus and what He's done, you will still live forever, but it'll be apart from Him in a place that's not good. In fact, the Bible says, Jesus said it like this, there shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth, a place of darkness, a place of torment. So none of us want to end up there. Amen? But the word eternal life does not mean just the length of life, but rather it refers to the quality of life. And so he writes to Timothy and he says, lay hold or grasp, seize, and possess the life and nature of God. How do we do that? Through our faith. And so he says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. If you want to know the truth, that's the only fight that Christians are really called to fight. That's the only fight we're really called to participate in. I know some Christian folks who like to fuss and feud and fight about every little thing. Well, they do it without me because I won't participate in it. Because that's not what we're supposed to do. And a lot of Christians fight each other. That is the last thing we're supposed to do. I may not agree with you, but I'm not going to fight with you. You ever have somebody in your family who's just plain obnoxious, cantankerous, and likes to argue and prove their point? I had a fellow like that one time. I worked with him in Oklahoma, and he was just hard as nails. You know, thought he was right, everybody else was wrong. And there was another fellow who had just become a Christian working with us. And this guy would corner him and press him on all this silly stuff. And this guy was new in Christ, new in the faith, and so he knew a little bit about the Bible, but he couldn't put his finger on chapter and verse. He couldn't, you know, defend the scripture because he wasn't sure where it was. And so the guy kept pressing him on certain things, and so finally this guy said, "You need to go talk to Bill. You know, why are you asking me all this? Go talk to him." Well, the guy didn't want to talk to me, but finally got up enough gumption to corner me on an issue. "What do you believe about this?" I told him. He said, "I don't think that's right." I truly believe it this way. I said, well, that's nice. That's not what the Bible teaches. I said, if you believe that, that's fine. I'm not going to argue with you, though. And then he tried to press me. I really want to know what you believe. How come you don't believe it like I do? I said, listen, you can believe Jesus lives on the moon for all I care. I don't care about that. I said, what really matters is, do you trust him? Is he your Lord and Savior? Then that's what we agree on. But if you want to believe that goofy stuff that you believe, knock yourself out. And I told him, it ain't going to work. I said, but if it works for you, I'll be the first one to say amen. But I'm not going to fight with you about it. You know? And so he found out he was wrong. Short story. So, Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold, seize, grasp, possess the life and nature of God. That's what he's called us to do. Now, you're there in 1 Timothy. Back up in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians is just before Ephesians. And it's right after 2 Corinthians. You know, I've come up with a little acronym to remember those epistles in that section. God's Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It helps. At least I know where to find it. Galatians chapter 2. When you get there, say, I'm there. All right. Galatians chapter 2. And let's look at verse 20. Here's something that Paul said, writing to this Gentile church. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Now, notice what he said. I am crucified with Christ. He wasn't talking about his physical body, because obviously he's still alive, because he's writing a letter to this church. So how in the world could he be crucified with Christ? He's revealing to them and letting them know and us know that he is alive in Jesus, but his old man, the guy he used to be, has been crucified with Christ. That old nature, the party animal, you know, the dude who used to do everything, he has been crucified with Christ. Here's a major stumbling block to some Christian people. They come to Jesus, give their lives to him, but yet hang on to the old person. And don't realize that that old person has been removed from them. That old way of living has been nailed to the cross. That's not you anymore. You don't identify with that old guy. That old guy's been crucified with Christ. But yet you live. Not in the old way you used to live, but in a new way. I've often said this, faith will change your problems, but first it has to change your life. And I'm one of these old school guys that really believes that when you have an encounter with Jesus and he comes into your life, he transforms you. Now, if there's no transformation that's taken place, it's because you don't know who you are. You're still hanging on to the old guy who's been crucified with Christ. You need to let go of that corpse and move on. Amen? Notice what he said. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul's letting the church at Galatia and us know that when we come to Jesus, our old man is crucified with him, nailed to the cross, dead. But we still live. But this new life that we live, and he said it like this, by the faith of him who loved me and gave himself for me. Who is that? Jesus. And so I'm alive, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. So faith is important. Amen. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, fight the good fight of faith. That's the only fight we're called to fight. Paul said, I live by the faith of Jesus. How important is faith? It's of utmost importance. Amen. Very important. Now, here's some scriptures that you need to know. I learned something a long time ago from my grandfather. Whenever Grandpa told me to do something or mentioned something to me, I always paid attention because I had great respect and admiration for my grandfather. My grandfather rarely had to tell me to do something twice. But I learned from my grandfather, if he had to repeat himself, he was serious. You with me? I knew that about my mother. If my mother had to repeat herself, she was serious. Now, if she repeated herself twice, she's serious. Don't let her say it the third time. Because after Mama repeats herself twice, there's trouble coming. If you don't get off your duff and do what Mama told you to do. See, now I'm one of these old school guys. I didn't talk back to my mama. I know kids do it today, but you didn't do that in my house. I only talked back to my mother one time. I was a junior in high school. Thought I was going to be cool, going to wear a headband to school. And Mom came in, and she'd always looked at us before we went out the front door, and she looked at me. She said, "What's that?" I said, "It's a headband." I'm going, she said, "Take that off your head." I said something smart. Bam! Just, I never saw it coming. I didn't. I was more embarrassed because my brother and sister saw it. You know, Mom hit me, wow! And I'm like, wow, she just slapped me. Just, you know, but I'm processing this, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I did smart off, didn't I? You know. And so, I mean, in just a moment, I came to this resolution. Don't you ever do that again. Don't ever do that again. But when my mother repeated herself, she was serious. When my grandfather repeated himself, he was serious. Well, guess what? We learn by repetition, but whenever somebody says something to you more than once, it is very important. Now, here are some scriptures you need to know. In the Old Testament, the minor prophet Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. Don't turn there, just write this down. The Lord said through Habakkuk the prophet, "The just shall live by faith." Habakkuk 2:4. Then in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the Holy Spirit said this through the Apostle Paul, "For the just shall live by faith." So here we have two different witnesses saying exactly the same thing. And then Paul said again in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, "For the just shall live by faith." There again, four witnesses saying verbatim, word for word, exactly the same thing. Then go a little further in the New Testament at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The writer of Hebrews says this, "For the just shall live by faith." Now we have four witnesses out of the Old and New Testament that say verbatim, word for word, exactly the same thing. The just shall live by faith. Now the word just is a Greek word that means justified or those who have been declared righteous. Who's he talking about? He's talking about those who have trusted in Jesus. Just like Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But the life that I live by the faith of Him who loved me and gave Himself for me." He realized that his old man is dead. He's now the righteousness of God in him. He's been declared righteous. And so now he lives his life by his faith. Four witnesses in the Old and New Testament say verbatim, word for word, the same thing. The just shall live by faith. Now, turn to the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's break this down a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice the 7th verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." There's witness number 5. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now all the other scriptures said the just shall live by faith. Well, this word walk is the Greek word peripateo, which literally means to walk about, to occupy, or to live. So here he's saying the same thing. For we walk or live by faith. And then he notice what he said at the end. Not by sight. In other words, the Christian is designed to live by his faith, not by what he sees. The Christian is designed to live by his faith or her faith, not by what they perceive with the senses. Amen. Sight is nothing more than a visual perception. Well, he could have easily said, for we walk by faith, not by feelings. He could have said, for we walk by faith, not by what we hear. But no, he said, we walk by faith, not by sight, that which is perceived by the senses. Now, here's something that I want you to think about before we progress and go any further. Notice all of these witnesses say exactly the same thing. The just shall live by faith. Say it with me. The just shall live by faith. Say this. That means me. I am designed to live by my faith, not by what I see. Now, faith is a lifestyle for the Christian. The just shall live by faith. We walk, occupy, live our lives by faith, not by what we see. Faith is a lifestyle for the Christian. Now, let me talk just for a moment about what faith is not. Many people live their lives thinking that faith is the panic button. In other words, now I've gotten in trouble. Nobody can help me but God. And so now I need to develop my faith. I need to trust the Lord. I've seen it many, many times. You know, people do everything and anything they can, live their lives, ignore the Lord, ignore the things of God. But when somebody's ready to die, now all of a sudden they want to get real spiritual. Pastor Young, would you come pray for me? Yes, I will. You with me? Amen. See, but the time to build a fort is not in the middle of a hurricane. You need to have your fort built before the storm comes. Are you with me? God is so merciful, He will meet you where you are. But when you know better, He will hold you to a higher standard. You with me? When you ought to know how to go to the potty, there's no more time for Pampers. You with me? See, now little babies, they're cute. You know, they're helpless. You can't, we were on the plane last night, the lady next to us had two little babies. And one of them was, I don't know, Valerie, how old was the youngest one? 4 months old. You know, they need change, they need fed, they need all that stuff. You know, my grandson is 5 months old. You know, and when they make a little poo, it's funny. You know, look at that, what did he do? Well, when they're 15 and they make a poo, it ain't funny no more. Okay? 15 and you got a poo, you better go handle your business. I'm not helping you. Well, guess what? Spiritually, the same thing applies when you're a baby Christian. There's some things that God will do for you because you need help. You're kind of helpless and we'll help you. But when you're old enough to know better, are you still out there? When you're old enough to know better, you shouldn't need your diaper changed. Amen? And see, God, I've seen God do miraculous things for new Christians. Weren't even living right. You know what I mean? And God's power just show up and override everything and make everything right. And see, then we wonder why mature Christians sometimes struggle with these things. Because God expects a little more out of you. Amen? His power is still the same. He's still there. But we need to learn how to live by our faith. not by our sight. Notice what faith is not. It's not the panic button. It's not the spare tire. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you examined the spare tire in your car? Who in this room looked at their spare tire in July? Nobody. You did? Did you have to use it?
No,
it was just sitting there. Okay. See, but a lot of Christians do their faith like that. They ignore it until something breaks down. Now all of a sudden, whoop, I got a spare in the trunk. The Bible says that faith will move mountains. I'd better go in the trunk and get my faith and work on it. No, 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 no. Faith is not the spare tire. Faith is the way you live every day. Faith is not the panic button. Faith is the way you live every day. It's a lifestyle. The Bible says it five times. It must be important. Would you agree with that? The just shall live by faith. Faith is not the panic button. Faith is not the spare tire. Faith is a way of life for the Christian. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. And we're going to look at a couple verses. We're building a foundation here so that you understand what faith is and how faith works. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look at verse 1. Hebrews 11, 1. Here's another one that faith is not. I've heard people use this term. We know that faith is not the panic button. Faith is not the spare tire. Guess what else faith is not? Faith is not a movement. Yeah, back in the 80s, they had the faith movement. No, this book was written thousands of years ago. And it still works. There's no faith movement. Or a faith doctrine. It's not a doctrine. It's the way the Christian's supposed to live.
Amen.
You know? It's like saying air and breathing is a movement. No, that's the way we live. That's the way we survive. Faith is not a movement or a doctrine or a dogma or the panic button or the spare tire. Faith is a way of life.
Amen.
For the Christian. Now, what is faith? Notice Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at verse 1. Now, the word now is a conjunction. That means it's connected to the verse that's preceding it. And so we'll look at Hebrews 10, 38 and 39 and go into Hebrews 11, 1. Because the Bible wasn't written in chapter and verse. Notice verse 38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice that faith is. It doesn't say faith was or faith will be. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. What is substance? What's another word you could use for substance? Substance is something that's tangible. Substance is something that has some matter to it, if you will. Substance is materiality. Substance is something that you can put your hands on. You with me? You know, there have been times the other day I witnessed I hadn't seen one of these in a while, a drug deal go down. You know, you see the transfer of the money, then you see the fella go and get the dope when he come back. And if the police had been there, they'd have arrested the fella and charged him with dealing in a controlled substance. You know, he wasn't selling something that's intangible, something you can't touch or feel or put your hands on. No, dope you can touch and feel and smoke and do all that stuff with it. It's tangible. It's substance. Well, here the writer of Hebrews says faith is substance. It's real. It's tangible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith has substance to it.
Amen.
You with me? Now, let's look at some other translations. Hebrews 11:1. Here's one. The Williams translation of the New Testament says this: faith is the assurance of things we hope for, the proof of the reality of things we cannot see. Faith is the proof or the reality of things that we cannot see. Now, hang with me. We'll tie all this together so that you have a proper understanding of it. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And we've studied that phrase, without. The Greek word choresi has to do with location. That literally means outside of faith, you cannot please God. And so how do we tie all this together? Faith is a lifestyle for the Christian. It's the way we're supposed to live every day. Not just when we get in trouble. Not just when things go wrong. Now understand me, when we get in trouble and things go wrong, use your faith. It will always work. But I'm imploring you that faith is the way you should live every day, so you need to learn how to develop and grow your faith so that when the storms of life come, and they come to each and every one of us, you with me? I know what I'm talking about. The storms of life come to each and every one of us. You need to be ready before the storm gets here.
Amen?
Amen. Well, Pastor Young, I just believe that the storms of life make us mature. Wrong. The storms of life build character. Wrong. Storms don't build character. They reveal character. A storm will reveal what's in your heart. I heard a man the other day, my wife and I heard him, he was just cussing and fussing. And they took the guy out of the room. You know, my wife and some others were ministering to some people in a nursing home. They were just in there singing, "Yes, Jesus loves me," and laying hands on people. One guy came in there just spouting profanity and blank this and blank that. And so they wheeled him out of there. Well, a little later, he was down the hall, and somebody said to him, "What are you so angry for?" He said, "I'm mad at the whole blank, blank world." You know? Well, this guy is in a nursing home. He don't want to be there. The storms of life have ravaged him, and it didn't make him mature. It made him bitter. Made him angry. He's mad at the whole blank, blank world. So don't tell me storms bring maturity. They don't. Storms give you the opportunity to grow up. But you grow up before the storm gets there. Are you with me? You may learn something in the midst of a storm. You could have learned it before the storm came. Amen? But that storm got your attention, didn't it? Got your attention because you knew the only way you're going to get out of this thing is God. I'm trying to tell you, don't wait till the storms of life come before you develop your faith. Develop your faith for your life every day. Amen. When the storms of life come, and they will, you'll stand. Amen?
Amen?
But storms don't necessarily build character into people. Go to prison, you'll find out. Find out how much character is developed in A block, D block, C block. Not much. Now, some people, Fred, you can tell me, some people have had their lives radically changed while they were in prison. But most of them didn't help them at all, did it? 90% of them made them worse. Amen? Made them worse. So the storms of life come to us all, but that's not what God uses to build character. God uses His Word to build character. God uses His Spirit to build character. He can get you in the midst of a storm, but that's not the best way to learn. Amen? What is faith? The assurance of things we hope for, the proof or the reality of things we cannot see, and without it, it is impossible. Impossible to please God. Now, we're going to look at two more portions of Scripture today. Turn with me to the first one, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, first book in the Bible, the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 12. We've seen so far that Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. And we've seen that the Bible tells us at least 5 times that faith is a lifestyle for the Christian. The just shall live by faith. Or the Bible says we walk or live by faith, not by what we see. Not by what we perceive with our senses. Notice Genesis chapter 12. Where did all this start? And how does it impact our lives? I want to show you this. Follow along with me. This is key. I missed this for decades. I had no idea what this scripture that I'm about to read to you meant. But notice this. Genesis chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, this is when God first encountered the man we know today as Abraham. His name was different. And the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of your country and away from your family and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. Notice this last part of this verse. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. In you shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, this is when God first encountered the man named Abram. The first thing that God told him to do, notice this now, get away from your family and your father's house, and I want you to go to a place that I will show you. Now, many times, people never grow and develop in their faith because they're stuck in the same environment that they grew up in or that they've become comfortable with. And it's not conducive to a life of faith. This is important now. It matters who you hang out with. Listen to this one. It matters where you go to church. It matters where you live. There was a time when Jesus had a deaf mute brought to him. He was in a city called Bethsaida. And they brought this man to Jesus. He was unable to speak and he could not hear. And here's what Jesus did. He took the man by the hand, led him out of town. I mean, he walked past the city limits, got on the other side of the city limits. And once he got out of that town, the Bible says he spit and touched his tongue, put his finger on that mute man's tongue, put his fingers in his ears and said, be open. And immediately the man was healed, could hear and could talk. And here's what Jesus said to that man who had been deaf and mute. He said, don't go back in that town and don't you tell anybody what happened to you. And notice what he said, don't you go back there. Now, for all Jesus knew, the man could have lived there. But he was saying to him, if you want to stay healed, you better stay away from that place. Amen. It matters the environment that you're in. It does. If you're going to live a life of faith, God told Abram, first thing he told him, you need to get away from these people. Get away from your father's house. Now, listen, his people fought. They worshiped God, but they didn't. They worshiped the moon, still do today. God told them, you need to get away from there. And get away, because you'll never learn how to please me as long as you stay in that place. So Abram went, not knowing where he was going. Now here's what I want you to see. All that other stuff was good, but that's not the important part. The important part is this. God told Abram that all families of the earth will be blessed in you. Now, how is that? What does that mean? Let's look at that verse again. Verse 3. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. That means every family in the earth will be blessed because of what Abraham did. Now listen to me. Here's what I always assumed this verse meant. I always assumed this verse meant because Abraham obeyed God, and through his descendants, the Messiah came, Jesus. And that because Jesus was from the descendant of Abram or Abraham, all families of the earth would be blessed in Abraham because Jesus was his descendant. That is not what the Bible says. I'm going to show you what the Bible says. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. I always assumed that all families of the earth would be blessed because Jesus was of the lineage or the descendant of Abraham. But that's not what the Bible says. Galatians chapter 3. We'll close with this one. Galatians chapter 3. How are all families of the earth blessed because of Abraham? Let's say that together. How are all families of the earth blessed in Abraham? Let's say it again. How are all the families of the earth blessed in Abraham? We assume it's because Jesus was his descendant. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Notice this, Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 6. You ready? He says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify or declare righteous the heathen, how? Through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." Notice verse 9. "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Now, notice what he said. All nations and families of the earth are blessed because of Abraham, not just because Jesus was his descendant, but we're blessed in Abraham because we follow his example of faith. In other words, all those who live by faith are blessed in Abraham. The fact that Jesus was his descendant is not the blessing that God was talking about. What he was talking about was that those who follow his example would be blessed. In other words, Abraham was the prototype. He was the first one in the earth to believe God. And God told him, "Leave your family, go where I will show you." And he said, "Okay, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm following." Are you with me? He set the example. Now all we have to do is follow Abraham's example of faith, and we can be blessed just like he was. So they which be of faith, or those who live by faith, or those who operate by faith, are blessed just like Abraham was. Amen? Even though Jesus is the descendant of Abraham, that in and of itself will not impact your life in any way whatsoever. And there are many people who think, "Oh yes, I believe in Jesus." Really? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. He's the Son of God. Really? Yeah, and so is Buddha, and so is Muhammad, and so is all these other. No, you don't believe in Jesus. You don't believe what Jesus said. You haven't walked through the door of faith. Are you with me? In other words, they believe in him as a historical figure. There's a difference, you know. Amen? They which be of faith are blessed in faith with faithful Abraham. So Abraham was the model, the die, the prototype. As we follow his example of faith, then our families will be blessed. Amen? So that's where we'll pick up next week. All right? And I'll show you how Abraham was transformed from a guy who wouldn't know God if he walked down the street in a red hat and slapped him upside the face, to a man who was willing to sacrifice his only son in a moment because he understood the power of what God had said and the power of His Word. Amen? Did you learn anything this morning? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Faith is a lifestyle. It's not the spare tire. It's not the panic button. It's the way the Christian lives every day. There was an evangelist, British evangelist years ago, who said, faith is the hand that receives from God. He also said this, faith is the door through which the Lord comes. Faith is what we need to live every day, but we need to understand what faith is and how it works. Amen? Would you lift your hands with me? Father, we thank You because we're people of faith. We not only understand what faith is, but we make it our daily practice. We trust You. We know that You have our best interest at heart. And we know that You've already made provision for us. So as we walk and live this life on this earth, we do so trusting in You, trusting in Your Word, and being led by Your Spirit, not depending upon what we see or what we feel. But our trust is in You. We'll follow that model, that example that Abraham set, and live a life that's pleasing to You. So thank You, Father, for giving us an opportunity to be blessed, to experience Your best, and to live a life that's pleasing to You. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God is so good. If there's anybody here and you need healing in your body, I'll pray with you. Just make your way to the front quickly, and then we'll dismiss. Never want to neglect the laying on of hands, because God's power will go into you, and it'll heal you. Amen? Anybody in the house need healing? All right. Come on. Yeah, we'll do this quick. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. All right, we'll take care of that. Let me turn this off.